Now, welcome, dear ones, to our main church service on this first Sabbath in March 7, 2026. Welcome to those that are here in the room, those that are listening to the recording, and those listening on the phone. And praise God for allowing us to come into fellowship with each other once again. Very sweet times, dear ones, that we can come together. Leave all our cares and perplexities and concerns behind and unite our voices in praising our God from whom all blessings flow. So welcome, dear ones. And our opening song to today's service is Not I, But Christ. Not I, but Christ, be honored, loved, exalted. Not I, but Christ, be seen, be known, be heard. Not I, but Christ, in every look and action. Not I, but Christ, in every thought and word.
Not I, but Christ, be gently soothing sorrow. Not I, but Christ, to wipe the falling tear. Not I, but Christ, to lift the weary burden. Not I, but Christ, to hush away all fear.
Christ only, Christ, no idle words have fallen. Christ only, Christ, no needless bustling sounds. Christ only, Christ, no self-important bearing. Christ only, Christ, no trace of I be found.
Not I, Christ, my every need supplying. Not I, but Christ, my strength and help to be. Not I, but Christ, for body, soul, and spirit. Christ only, Christ, here and eternally.
Amen. The greatest verse in the Bible dealing with salvation is found in Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ. Not I, but Christ is the gospel. And praise God for his grace and strength to make it all possible. Well, dear ones, please join with me for opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for thy merciful kindness, thy tender love, thy watchful care. We thank you for being here in our midst through the name of Jesus, through your love for us, and through the Spirit that brings you to our side. And Father, we meet here in the name of our Savior. We ask that the blessings that attend your presence, the blessings of light and peace and joy and truth, will be abiding with each listening heart. Dear Savior, we Also pray that your presence will be here to dispel darkness in our hearts, to deliver us from sin, from error and darkness, and to set us free to be able to rejoice in the truth and to fall in love with you that makes it all possible. And dear Spirit, we also pray that your presence will also be with us, be our teacher, our instructor, our guide into all truth. Please reprove and correct us for misunderstanding or not correctly interpreting thy word in any area. Please remove all misconceptions, all custom and tradition, all preconceived opinions, and allow only the truth as it is in Jesus to remain. We thank you for thy love, for helping us to comprehend and understand the inspired word of our God, and also for the encouragement to follow, to change, to come up ever higher. And please forgive us for fighting against you in so many areas. Help us to recognize your voice, especially when our own voice is loudly claiming to be heard and followed. And help us indeed to find rest in our Savior by following him. Father, we pray that you'll continue to raise up more laborers and send them into thy harvest field. Continue to pour your Spirit out in mighty power, to work upon hearts, to soften and subdue, and to bring into harmony with thy will in all area, including in this issue of independence. Thank you that you're in control. And thank you for not leaving us in darkness, but allowing the light to shine, and giving the grace and the strength to investigate, to follow, and to come up ever higher. Thank you that we're a day closer to getting off of this wicked world and going home. Help us to get ourselves ready and prepared. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, happy Sabbath, dear ones. And this is part two in our series on true and false independence. And last Sabbath, we learned that there are two different forms of independence. One form is the true form that heaven approves of, and the other form of independence is false that heaven condemns. And then we investigated each one. We discovered that the true and heaven-approved form of independence is briefly stated in these following inspired principles. One, the first, is that we're an independent agent who's responsible to God for our own actions and our own spiritual life. So this means that no one else can be blamed if we should lose heaven. The next principle is we are responsible to God to do our own personal study, because no one is to study for us. The next principle is that we're responsible to think for ourselves, and we're not to be the shadow or the rubber stamp of any other person. The next principle is that while we're to ask for advice from others of experience, we are responsible to follow our own convictions, because no one else is to be conscience for us. The next, we are responsible to help ourselves, and no one else is required to help us when we're able to help ourselves. The next principle, we are responsible for the performance of the work given us to do, and no one can be blamed if our work does not get done but us. The next principle, we are responsible for our own daily maintenance because no one owes us anything. The next principle, we are responsible to maintain our integrity, our moral righteousness, and obligations in the various affairs of life. The next, while we are to maintain our individual independence, yet we're to be united in harmony with others of like faith. And the last major principle, we are responsible to stand for God, for his honor and his truth, regardless of the consequences. So those are the major principles that form the area of true independence. But there's a false independence. And the principles that govern false and unholy independence that heaven condemns is briefly the following. The first, we are responsible to God alone, and thus no responsibility needs to be shown toward our fellow brethren. The next, we are responsible to God alone for our actions, and no one can hold us responsible or correct or censure or discipline us for what we do. The next, we are responsible to spiritually unite with God alone, because no one is to visibly unite with one another in church or working capacity. The next principle, we are responsible to believe and teach what we want to, regardless of what our fellow brethren agree is truth. The next, we are responsible to follow our own way, and we do not need to seek or follow the counsel of others of experience. The next principle of false independence is we are responsible to maintain our independence at all times and all circumstances, and we are not to be in union with others of like faith. And the last major principle of the unholy form of independence is that we are responsible to center our interests in our own work, regardless of the work and interests of our brethren. Now, we then learn that these unsanctified principles of false independence originated with Lucifer. Satan deceived a third of the heavenly angels. He then deceived Adam and Eve with this false form of independence. And then these same unholy and rebellious principles were manifested by the offspring of Adam and Eve, such as Cain, Pharaoh, King Saul, the king of Babylon, the prodigal son, Judas Iscariot, and these false and unholy principles of independence are still being manifested today by all Laodiceans. So this means that Satan is the real power and the real spirit behind all who are following the false form of independence. And the devil is extremely active in trying to get our separated and remnant people to follow these evil principles that he's the author of. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes and the quotes that I'll be referring to in this sermon, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/SDA/ID1439.htm. So Satan is the real power behind all who are following this false form of independence. You look at quote number one. From Testimonies, Volume 1, page 650. Satan well knows that success can only attend order and harmonious action. He well knows that everything connected with heaven is in perfect order, that subjection and thorough discipline mark the movements of the angelic host. It is his studied effort to lead professed Christians just as far from heaven's arrangement as he can. Therefore, he deceives even the professed people of God and makes them believe that order and discipline are enemies to spirituality, that the only safety for them is to let each pursue his own course and to remain especially distinct from bodies of Christians who are united and are laboring to establish discipline and harmony of action. All the efforts made to establish order are considered dangerous, a restriction of rightful liberty, and hence are feared as popery. These deceived souls consider it a virtue to boast of their freedom to think and act independently. They will not take any man say so. They are amenable to no man. I was shown that it is Satan's special work to lead men to feel that it is in God's order for them to strike out for themselves and choose their own course, independent of their brethren. So this inspired passage reveals to us that those who believe that unity and order among God's people is something that is dangerous, something that is a restriction of their rightful liberty and which will eventually lead to popery, and that God wants them to strike out for themselves independent of their fellow brethren, are following the devil and are not following God. But sadly, dear ones, it's not just individuals in our remnant separated movement who believe such satanic teachings, but even separated ministries and ministers are believing and teaching these unsanctified principles of independence to our people. And thus, there's confusion in our ranks instead of unity. And today we'll be examining what some of these separated ministers and ministries are believing and teaching to our precious separated people about this vitally important subject of independence. If you look at quote number two, a separated ministry in the western part of the United States believes and teaches this in their newsletter, quote, "At the present time, we see God's people being scattered by every conceivable means. Is it possible that we should desist from fighting against the disunity that seems to be everywhere? All our efforts to gather God's people into one belief system and one company are going against the will of God. What composed truth for the pioneers over 100 years ago is not necessarily present truth for today." End quote. And this particular sentiment, this particular idea, is deceiving our people. And all those who may believe that we should accept the fact that our disunity cannot be overcome because we're really going against God's will by seeking to be united together. What does God say about this? Well, let's see. This is God's people. This is God's work. What does God say about it? in Gospel Workers, page 487. Some have advanced the thought that as we near the close of time, every child of God will act independently of any religious organization. But I have been instructed by the Lord that in this work, there is no such thing as every man's being independent. In order that the Lord's work may advance healthfully and solidly, His people must draw together. And in Selected Messages, Book 3, page 23. There will be among the remnant of these last days, as there were with ancient Israel, those who wish to move independently, who are not willing to submit to the teachings of the Holy Spirit of God, and who will not listen to advice and counsel. Let such ever bear in mind that God has a church upon the earth to which He has delegated power. Men will want to follow their own independent judgment, despising counsel and reproof, but just as surely as they do this, they will depart from the faith, and disaster and ruin of souls will follow. Those who rally now to support and build up the truth of God are ranging themselves on one side, standing united in heart, mind, and voice in the defense of the truth. So as this is true, then why is it that we're having problems establishing unity in our ranks? Why are our people so scattered without there being unity among them? Is it because God is trying to keep us from uniting together? Or is it because many of our separated brethren, especially ministers and workers, do not want to be united together in obedience to God's will? What is the real cause of the troubles in our separated ranks regarding uniting together? We're told in Testimonies, Volume 7, page 197, the cause of the trouble, it is not difficult to determine. The workers have been independent threads when they should have regarded themselves as threads that must be woven together to help form the pattern. These things grieve the Holy Spirit. Unsanctified independence places us where He, or God, cannot work with us. So those who are the true followers of God will follow the true form of sanctified independence. They will be overcoming division and uniting together as one. While those who are the true followers of the devil will follow the false form of independence and will encourage division and will oppose any form of unifying God's remnant people as one. So, which form of independence do you find yourselves? Which form of independence are you following? Are you believing the true form of independence and uniting together as one? Or are you following the false form of independence and are refusing to unite together as one? Are you following God's will or the devil's will? It's revealed by how you respond to this issue of unity. Now, if you look at quote number 3, a separated minister in the eastern part of America believes and teaches this in their newsletter. Quote, "Those who continue to cry unity show they still do not comprehend the words of Christ. Those continuing their search for unity have not eaten of the flesh of Christ spiritually. Though they profess to be his followers and doers of his word, yet they have not fleshed the structural mire of a temporal kingdom from their minds. And unless they are broken on the rock Christ Jesus, they will continue their quest for unity until Jesus appears in the clouds of heaven. They look for a tangible unity seen with the visible eye. But God's few faithful standard bearers view unity with the spiritual eye. Satan is always warring for the mastery over the mind, and keeping the mind dwelling on unity is leading many to frustration and finally perdition. Do you find yourself believing with what was stated here, dear ones? Are you believing that unity is only to be spiritual and not visible? What does God say about this? In the General Conference Bulletin of April 10, 1901, God wants unity to be seen. That would be a visible unity, not just spiritual, wouldn't it? We're also told in the Review and Herald of February 11, 1902, many who profess to love God and keep his commandments are making void his law. God is greatly dishonored by the failure of professed Christians to reveal the unity that should be seen among his children. We're to reveal unity that should be seen. That's not just spiritual, it's visible. And those who refuse these words of inspiration are not keeping God's Ten Commandments. They're making void his law. And they're greatly dishonoring God. We're also told in Review and Herald of August 6, 1901, "We are not to strengthen any evil work. Let those who have used their talents of influence in doing this do so no longer. Let them not, by pen or voice, act on Satan's side of the question. In obedience to a thus saith the Lord, let unity of action be seen." So this means that we are now to achieve a visible unity, a unity that is seen with one another on this earth. And we're not to remain content in division. And we're not to wait until we get to heaven to finally be visibly united together as one. We're to achieve this visible unity now on the earth, before Christ comes. We're told in the book Sermons and Talks, Volume 2, page 15 to 16. Well, when is this unity to take place? Are we to wait until we get home to heaven? No. It should take place right here before we leave this house, referring to the church there. The melting power of God may be felt right here, and the rough edges of our hearts are to be melted right down. From our hearts is to flow forth love, peace, and harmony. So those who are the true followers of God will follow the true form of sanctified independence, and they will seek to establish a visible unity, a unity that is seen, among themselves and among God's separated remnant followers. While those who are the true followers of Lucifer will continue to follow the false form of independence, and they will oppose any movement towards establishing a visible unity among God's separated remnant people. And all you have to do is look at their fruits, examine their writings, listen to what they're teaching, and you can determine whether they're following God or whether they're following the devil, even though they claim to be part of the followers of God, the remnant, the separated people of God today. By their fruits, you will know them. It's very easy. Now, if you look at quote number 4, if you realize that you've been following this false form of independence in any way, what are you to do? Those who love God will realize that they need to quickly repent, to reform themselves, and begin now to obey God's will by seeking for the true visible unity with your fellow remnant separated brothers and sisters. And they will also recognize that they are in danger of their candlestick being removed from them and being given to someone else. And thus their crown of salvation is lost. Those who are not the true followers of God will continue on in following the false form of satanic independence. But if you're a true believer, if you really love God, then you will repent and change. We're told in pamphlet number 156, pages 12 to 14. God does not design that his workmen shall stand apart as independent atoms. I pray that you may now, as never before, both ministers and church members, come up to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty powers of darkness. Study prayerfully the 17th chapter of John. This chapter is not only to be read again and again, but its truths are to be eaten and digested. Are these words of such import to us to be always neglected? God calls upon those who claim to be his children to study these words, to eat them, to live them. Seek for unity and love, else the candlestick will be removed out of its place. So then, dear ones, which form of independence do you find yourselves following today? Now, if you look at quote number 5, another separated minister in the southern part of the United States believes and teaches this. Quote, so the church has no business in forcing basically its view or its will upon the members, because liberty of conscience must be respected. We know that when it comes to doctrine, that God has given us as individuals the freedom to choose what we shall and shall not believe. And it is in this manner that they, or God's people, will be united as a body. So, are we united together as a body by believing what doctrine we want to believe versus what anyone else believes? Is that how God would have us be united together as a body? Those who may agree with this concept that we're all to be independently believing and teaching what we want to on major doctrines, regardless of what our remnant brethren may believe is truth. God clearly states the following to you. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. No divisions are there. Also in Testimonies, Volume 1, page 332. Jesus and holy angels are bringing up and uniting God's people into one faith, that they may all have one mind and one judgment. And while they are being brought into the unity of the faith to see eye to eye upon the solemn important truths for this time, Satan is at work to oppose their advancement. Jesus is at work through his instruments to gather and unite. Satan works through his instruments to scatter and divide. So I hope that you all can see this issue of independence more clearly today. Satan works to destroy unity through having people follow the false form of independence. And at the same time, Jesus is working to build his people up in unity by having them follow the true form of independence. So as this is true, then who are you, dear listener, really following and working for? If you look at quote number 6, from Manuscript Releases, Volume 3, page 262. You must restrain the disposition within you of being original. You must lean upon the faith of the body, or you will mar the work of God and injure the truth. Unless there is order in these things, there would soon be great confusion in our ranks. It is not in the order of God for one to feel at liberty to express his or her views independently of the body. Another express his or hers, and so on. If such a course should be taken, we should not all speak the same things and with one mind glorify God. All of us have a part to act, but it is in union with the body. From Testimonies, Volume 5, page 107 to 108. But, you say, should I follow the judgment of the brethren independent of my own feelings? I answer, the church is God's delegated authority upon earth. There is altogether too little respect paid to the opinions of members of the same church. It is the want of deference for the opinions of the church that causes so much trouble among brethren. A few persons may be as blind as the one in error, but the majority of the church is a power which should control its individual members. Unless the advice and counsel of the church can be respected, it is indeed powerless. God has placed a voice in the church which must control its members. If you are led by truth rather than error, you will be willing to sacredly regard the voice of the church. And then from 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. That's conditional, isn't it? So those who are the true followers of God believe and teach the very same major doctrines which their fellow separated remnant home church members believe. And the God of love and peace will be with them. But those who are the true followers of Satan will believe and teach major doctrines that conflict and contradict with what their fellow separated remnant home church members believe. And then the devil of hatred and division will be with them. So then, dear ones, which form of independence do you find yourselves under in regard to the subject of all believing and teaching the very same major doctrines of faith? So there should be a lot of self-examination going on. No finger-pointing, just self-examination. What do you believe regarding the subject of unity, of being of one mind, having one faith, being subject one to another? And praise God for His Spirit convicting us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, next time, we'll continue investigating into this vitally important and salvational subject. I mean, if you're following the devil and you will not give him up, then you're not going to be saved. So this subject of independence is salvational. So next time we'll continue investigating into this subject that is affecting our separated remnant brothers and sisters. And praise God for His words of inspiration. Our closing song is titled, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way, Lord, have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence, humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine.
Have thy own way, Lord, have thy own way. All of my being, absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me.
Amen. Please join with me for closing prayer. Loving Father, we thank you so very much for thy words of instruction, of inspiration, of wisdom, of truth. Help us to see these clearly. Pour your Spirit upon us in rich abundance, and please, Spirit, remove from us custom and tradition, preconceived ideas and opinions, pride, rebellion, the false form of independence. Remove these from us and instead plant within us the principles of righteousness, the true form of independence. Plant Jesus on the throne of our hearts. Help self to be surrendered and crucified. And help us to submit ourselves to follow a thus saith the Lord and to live by an it is written. To live by every word that proceedeth from your mouth, from your hand. Let that be our foundation, our guide. And thank you, Spirit, for the grace as well as the correcting that we so desperately need in order to be on the one straight, upward, narrow path that leads to eternal life. Indeed, touch us with the grace, with the truth, with the conviction of sin. Heal us, dear Savior, through your precious blood merits and righteousness. Fill us with thy Spirit, that everyone will be able to see Christ only always living in us. For to me to live is Christ, not I, but Christ. Have thine own way, Lord. Thank you for making it possible. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So we'll find out more next time. Are there any questions or thoughts or comments, insights, testimonies, anything that you'd like to share? Dear ones, please go right ahead.
Happy Sabbath, my dear brothers and sisters. It's been a wonderful day. Big hugs. I love you all. Be careful. God be with you this week and bring us back together soon. And bye-bye.
Thank you, dear sister, and the same with you as well. It's amazing to see how this subject of unity can bring about sweet peace, love, joy, and harmony, or it can bring about division, hatred, strife, and enmity. It just shows how near the end we are and how earnest and active God is and the devil is. And though it hurts to have brethren and sisterin, if that's a word, brothers and sisters, that you were once extremely close to decide to no longer have any contact with you because your view of unity differs from their view of unity. No matter how hard that hurts, yet that difference opens eyes and it gets them to realize that they have a choice to make. And if they want their choice to be an intelligent choice, then they need to investigate. And they need to find the truth, and they find the truth in God's word. So the difference between these two views of independence are forcing individuals to study for themselves. And those who love the truth will follow the truth. Those who love something other than the truth will not follow the truth. And this is going to continue until the end. And as much as you want to try and bring your dear brothers and sisters into following the truth, you can't force them. They have the freedom to choose death if that is their choice, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. And that's what hurts the most, is that they didn't have to choose the wrong side. They could have chosen the correct side. But in order to do that, there's a confession of believing and following wrong. And sometimes, just like our dear brother put in the text chat, pride doesn't let them do that. And how sad is that? Yeah, comment says the conference Adventist Church teaches members against any outside independent ministries. Yeah, that's true. So God's word says to come out of her. So there's to be a division between his people and Babylon, between his people and apostate churches. So there's to be separation there. But then God doesn't say that his separated people who leave Babylon are to remain separate from one another. That his separated people are to unite together as one. So there's going to be separation and unity occurring at the same time throughout the world. God's people will be separating from Babylon, from apostasy, from sin, from error, and uniting together in Christ on the truth with one another, working together as one. And the devil, believe it or not, is also going to have his people separating from every form of order, except they will be united in the one object of their hatred for Christ. So even the devil and his ranks have unity, but it's on the wrong side. So even though someone may be completely rebellious of any form of order, they will be in perfect unity with the devil. So everyone is going to be united, even though they oppose all unity, because they'll be united with the devil and will have destruction in the end unless they repent. Yeah, they say there's no salvation outside the Adventist church, so you have to be part of the church in order to be saved. But that is not biblical. That is Roman Catholicism at its most deceptive phase. Because salvation is found only in Christ. It is never found in a church group. Another comment, or if you have a different view on any subject, even minor, then others holding the opposing view will separate from you. Yeah, and again, that's from the devil. You have pillars of the faith that cannot be compromised on. And then you have personal views on all other kinds of minor issues, non-salvational. And you don't have to be united in those minor non-salvational issues. You don't have to separate from someone who has a different view. But on the pillars of the faith, those cannot be compromised on. Or you really do not have one mind. You do not have one faith. And thus you do not have true unity. Any other comments or thoughts? Please feel free. Yeah, amen. Comment says, Satan just keeps repeating and repackaging his main lies from his rebellion in heaven. And the biggest is that the law of God is not needed because it cannot be kept. Very true. But what's amazing to me is you have individuals that have come out of Babylon, and they profess to keep God's law. They keep the Sabbath. But then they claim that no one needs to be physically or visibly united with each other. And they still claim to be commandment keepers. But we read from Ellen White where God says they're breaking his law and dishonoring him by not being visibly united with one another. So you have them speaking out of both sides of their mouth. Yes, I keep God's commandments, and then, but I also follow the devil's form of false independence. So, I mean, you can't have both God and the devil at the same time. It's one or the other. But how do you reach someone who believes that they're not to be united with you? That it's just them and God and no one else. How do you reach them? I don't know. The Spirit is the only way. Back in 1996, there was a camp meeting that was conducted by four different separated remnant ministers and ministries coming together to put on that program. And I was able to talk with some of those who attended. I was one of the ministries there. I was able to talk with some of the individuals who attended that camp meeting. And they were so excited that finally there was unity among the separated ministries. They were enthusiastic. They were animated. They were overjoyed that finally there was individuals working together in fulfilling the prayer of Christ. But it didn't take long for the devil to come in and cause a separation between two of the ministries of the four. And that separation was because of a difference in God's people being united. So, no, it wasn't in Oregon. The camp meeting was in the eastern part of the U.S. So here you had four ministries coming together from various parts of the United States. And the effect upon the people was amazing, positive. And then shortly after the camp meeting closed, you had two of the ministries pulling away on the very aspect of unity. And thus, there was no longer the excitement among the people. And all you could do was pray and hope and continue preaching the truth. But you can't force. In 2006, over in Africa, there were about eight different ministries and ministers and workers that came together all in one meeting. There was a convocation first, and then there was a meeting of the workers and so on afterwards. That also had a tremendous effect upon individuals there in Africa. And to God's glory, six, maybe seven, but six out of the eight are still working together. One or two pulled away on the very subject of unity. So they were there, but the very subject of unity took them away from being united, which is ironic, but amazing. But praise God that six of us are still working together. So it is possible. It's been going on for 20 years now, still working together. So it is possible, and God is blessing. A comment says, same thing happened with a non-conference church in upstate Idaho, split in two. Oh, that's sad. But yeah, amen. God is able. God is able. Now, I've even heard of an Adventist church now where half the church believes in the correct view of the nature of Christ, that Christ took man's fallen nature in its sinful condition and overcame sin through that nature, or in spite of that nature. And the other half of the church believes that Christ took the unfallen nature of Adam and didn't have to overcome sin with a fallen, sinful flesh. And how that church functions is that half the church meets in one particular area, and the other half of the church meets in a different area of the same church. So they're trying to have unity on two contradicting views of major doctrinal areas. And the church is still meeting. Yeah, it's confusion. Yeah, I mean, if Christ took the nature of Adam in its unfallen condition, then Christ has to save us in our sins. Because we can't keep God's law, we're going to be sinners forever until Christ comes and then miraculously changes us from being a sinner who loves sin into being a non-sinner who no longer loves sin. And then the other side, who believes that Christ took man's nature in its fallen condition and experienced temptations from within and overcame sin by following God, and thus everyone else can overcome sin by following God, which means God's law can be kept perfectly, which means we can overcome sin, are on the other side of the issue. So it's a gigantic contradiction between the two groups, but they're part of the same church. They don't see eye to eye. They don't have one faith. They have two different forms of faith. And that is Babylon, where you have confusion in your midst. You have truth and error being held to, and yet you have to stay within the confusion in order to be saved. That's what Babylon teaches. Comment says, it seems like out of convenience or in social appearance in their particular church. Yeah, it's not following God's will. It's not having one faith, it's having two faiths. Any other comments or thoughts, dear ones? Please feel free. So praise God that He has dug each one of us out of the pit of sin and error, falsehood and Babylon, and has set our feet on the solid rock Christ Jesus, and has brought us together in unity to worship Him from whom all blessings flow. Yeah, amen. May the loud cry help the members to study for themselves and ask God to grant them a way out. Amen. So on the subject of being of one body, is every remnant separated follower of Christ to join this home church in order to be of one body? Yeah, amen. The answer is no. In order to be of one body, we join Christ. And just as His body has many different members, they're all united together as one. So you don't have the right arm hitting the left arm saying, I don't need you, part of the body. You have both arms working together in order to pick up something. So this home church and all its members and another home church over in Africa and all its members are all part of the body of Christ. And being united together with Christ, we're to be united together with others in Christ. And we're to fellowship together. But the home church in Africa is not to control the home church here. And we're not to control them because we're not in charge. We're not the head. Christ is the head. Christ controls us. So all the separated home churches are part of the body of Christ if they've joined Christ and Christ is in their midst, right? But we're all to be working together, just as both arms work together to pick up a load and both legs work together in harmony in order to move the load somewhere else. We're all united with one another in the body of Christ, and we all are to follow the head of the body, which is Christ. It's our union with Christ and our union with one another in Christ, whether in this home church or other members of the body of Christ throughout the world. It's our unity with Christ, which is spiritual, and it's our unity with others, which is physical, seen unity, that reveals us to be the true followers of Christ. That's John 17, that his people may be one with each other as he is one with the Father. That's visible unity. That's not spiritual unity. And John 17 was Christ's very last prayer before he was crucified. It was for his people. And that prayer is the hardest for the followers of Christ to keep today, because the devil makes sure that they have a wrong understanding of independence. Yeah, amen. Blessed be the tie that binds us to one another and to Christ. Yeah, amen. It's because self must truly die in order for you to be truly united with one another. A comment says, there are home churches in the Philippines that are united with us here. Praise God indeed. Yes, there's churches all over the world, home churches that are united with us. So amen. Hallelujah and amen. So there is unity occurring, a true form of unity, and then there's others that do not want to be united. And all you can do is pray. Yeah, amen. Where Christ is the center of that unity and his love for one another is the glue. Amen. Well, dear ones, any last thoughts or questions or comments or insights or testimonies or songs that you'd like to sing? Please go ahead.
I'd like to share a comment. You hear about, you know, the unity, the body of Christ. So that reminds me of something I learned in one of my anatomy books. It's about cells. It says here that they're kind of like the building blocks of life. There are many different types of cells, but here's the basic part that I was going to read to you before we depart. Says here that cells are the basic building blocks of your body temple. All living things are made up of cells. The adult human body contains more than... ten million cells. But 1 Corinthians 12:14 says, "For the body is not one member, but many. Most of the individual cells of your body are very tiny. If you touch the end of a ballpoint pen to the skin of your arm, the dot of ink it left behind would be covering thousands of cells. Just like a church building would be maybe made of stone, plastic, steel, bricks, and glass, all kinds of building blocks, so your body temple is one of many kinds of cells. Bones, muscles, nerves, skin, blood, and all other body tissues are formed by groups of similar cells that cluster together. Each cell has a special job, but it also works with other types of cells to perform the enormous number of tasks needed to sustain your life. The way cells work together can teach us about groups of people working together, such as families, churches, communities, and nations. The structure of each cell and the way it looks is related to the work it must do. Different kinds of tissues form organs, such as the stomach and liver, and all the organs and tissues put together form you, form me, and everybody else in this room and across the world, in whom all the buildings fitly framed together grow up into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Ephesians 2:21-22. So translate its function and even how many cells are inside. And without it, then there's no way any of us would have a body to have. Thanks to God giving us all the cells we have, that's how well we're able to do what we need to do, what we wish to do. And because, as God is the maker of these cells and how he made us, so it makes sense that as long as everything inside us unifies and works together to keep ourselves functioning, that's the thing in way how we need to have ourselves united with God. That way we may be able to make possible, have the gospel be given out, and how our spiritual service to him is supposed to will work. So just like the cells in our body, he's connected with each other in order to make our body function. So the Spirit of God needs to connect with us so that way we can be able to have whatever task God needs us to do and whatever he wants us to give out the truth, the gospel, all the good messages that the Lord has in store, be it for essential reasons. That's how unity will be able to work and how may can come together, not just for us to be with us, but also be with the Lord, as long as they have it in themselves to have the faith and trust in him and love as we do.
Amen. Oh, thank you, dear brother. Yeah, and it's when you stop to analyze just how many different kinds of cells make up the body systems. And then you realize that all of those myriad of different cells all need to perform their particular area of responsibility in order for the body to function healthfully. God, just with our body temple, is showing us the necessity for unity, even though there's many different divisions of responsibility. So there's unity in diversity. But what happens when a group of cells decide that they're not content to perform their responsibility and they go independent? What happens then?
Pacemaker.
Yeah, you have AFib, which needs to be controlled, because AFib is where a group of cells in the atrium decide they're going to beat to their own rhythm. And so you have, instead of one solid, strong beat of the atrium, you have many conflicting beats, and so it's like it quivers. So you have a lack of the proper functioning of the heart to push the blood and nourish the system. But yeah, amen. Cancer, when a group of cells no longer follows their responsible character and they go independent, they go rogue, they just multiply themselves with no pattern to their functioning, and a cancer forms. And that cancer, if it's benign, it just grows in place until it becomes so big it cuts off circulation, and then you have all kinds of problems. Or if it's metastatic cancer, it doesn't stay in place, but it travels throughout the body, and wherever it lands and the immune system doesn't defeat it, it then grows in that new area. So you have many different small cancers throughout the body that are growing to their own independent pattern. So you can see that there's a true form of independence in the body, independence in diversity. Everyone performs their work in harmony with every other one who's performing their work from the Lord, and everything moves forward healthfully and harmoniously. Or the false form of independence, you do your own thing and that jeopardizes the health of the body and can even kill it. And God put within the system T cells and I think it was B cells, wasn't it? T and B? Anyway. Oh, thank you. You have these white cells that are designed to attack and devour. They actually eat them. These independent cells that go and do their own thing before they become so numerous that there's a lump or a cancer. But when the body is unhealthy, then these white cells are not up to their best potential at discovering and eliminating the threat of those cells that are following the false form of independence. Or if there's too many rogue cells, then the white cells can't keep up with the attacking of them. They become weakened or overstrained, and thus the cancer's ignored, or it's allowed to grow without much resistance. So God, in the spiritual body, in Christ's body, right, has efforts put into place to eliminate the rogue followers that are not, they're following the false form of independence instead of the true form. And those spiritual white cells, if you will, is the words of God in the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. His word eliminates the false form of independence. but how much better it would be for everyone to live by every word of God instead of doing their own thing. So let's allow God's word to eliminate the false form of independence, those wrong principles that may have a hold in our thinking, so that we may be a true worker for God in harmony with other workers for God in this body of Christ. So we'll find out more next time. And praise God, indeed. Well, dear ones, continue growing in grace, continue studying, continue moving forward and upward and onward in this gospel race. And we look forward to being back in fellowship with you soon. Have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath and new week soon to be here. And until we meet again.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.